Stay a while. Stay forever.
Hello and welcome to the third weekly edition of News Trash. And you will see a difference in sort of the presentation this week going forward. But before I talk about that, I'm also, as ever, joined by my co-host and Mr. Newsreader man, Rob.
Hello!
Yes, how are you this week?
I am... am I officially Mr. Newsreader man? Is that some kind of weird new superhero thing?
Yeah, it's a really low-key superhero power.
Do I just walk up and announce the headlines while there's a fight going on?
That's just a town crier, Rob. That's not a superpower.
See... the weird thing is, when I was a kid, I thought being a town crier would be a cool thing to be.
Just a loud mouth who tells you what's going on.
Exactly.
So you kind of are, Rob. But anyway, yeah.
I don't have the fancy suit and hat.
And the accoutrements.
Or the bell.
Yeah.
Imagine doing this show when I've got a bell going, hey.
You'd pop headphones and speakers the land over. Yeah. But we used to record this on Zoom, but Zoom is garbage. Absolutely garbage. And as somebody who cares about presentation a great deal, we said, right, enough of that. I'm not doing that anymore. And so we upped our game, and hopefully it looks better going forward. But Zoom is a good website for DVDs if you're in the UK, just that a heads up. So I'm not going to completely throw Zoom under the bus, because there's another Zoom, which is being hid by the big Zoom, which deserves a shout.
I you lost me at the Zoom. I'm confused now.
Yeah. There was a Zoom DVD shop, like, you know, Zavi or LeoPlay.com. And that's been around a while. And then Zoom became like a massive sensation of a video chat subscription thing. And Little Zoom got absolutely squashed underfoot. So all I'm saying is, support Little Zoom too.
Wasn't Zavi that weird thing that kind of spun out of Virgin Megastore?
Yeah.
Okay. I always thought it was an odd name, Zavi.
Well, there's worse.
Anyway, we've got things to talk about today. Several things to talk about today. But you know how the DualSense has been getting a lot of plaudits? PlayStation 5 DualSense?
It has.
You can do so many things with it. Oh, the haptic feedback is amazing. Yada, yada, yada. Well, there's an issue that's been reported on quite a few occasions, and in some occasions as early as 10 days after they've bought the PlayStation 5, players have started reporting joystick drift, or just stick drift issues. And it's a bizarre thing, is this whole idea of stick drift. Okay.
Just to explain what it is, it's if when your controller is static, the controller or something software-wise is making the camera or the character drift to one side constantly, even though you're not doing anything. So when you play it, you got to constantly course correct.
Do you know what the bizarre thing is, right? When, with controllers, right, you've got your buttons, you've got your thumbsticks, everything like that. But if you go back to the old days when it was just a joystick with a couple of buttons, you rarely got this thing called stick drift. It wasn't really a thing back then, because I remember that the big thing with old joysticks was micro switches.
Yeah, I mean, I think I got a very gentle stick drift on my PlayStation 3 6-axis controller.
Yeah.
But nothing like what I've seen on these current... I mean, even Microsoft has it. It's affecting all of them.
Yeah, and I think... I'm not sure what's causing it, and I don't know if if Sony and Microsoft know what's causing it. Nintendo have been affected by it as well.
Yeah, I think there was 25,000 complaints to Nintendo about it.
Possibly it's something to do with the sensitivity of the parts that they're using. And the ages of using micro switches in thumbsticks or in joysticks in general, they're long, long gone. But the nice thing about that sort of mechanical thing is that you rarely had anything like this.
let's put it another way. I think it's a technology thing. Because look at mobile phones. When I had my clamshell mobile phone, you could throw that at a bus, it could be run over by a bus, and you could pick it up and it still worked. Those things were made out of, I don't know what they're made out of, but they were hardy stuff.
Well, I mean, the original Nokia, was it the 3310? The brick?
Yeah.
And the builder's version of that, you know, the one that they used on, like, construction sites and in warehouses and that?
Not really, but go on.
It was like a solid piece of kit. Those are still highly sought after as phones, for especially by workmen, people who work in construction and stuff like that. Because you could drop that phone off like a six-story scaffold, and it'd still work fine.
But look at modern phones. You drop a modern iPhone, and the screen looks like a horror movie poster. You know, it looks like some sort of modern art.
See, when you say horror movie poster, I'd say it depends on the horror movie.
Well, obviously, that's a self-explanatory bloody hell, Rob.
Yeah, but do you remember the poster for The Frighteners, where it was just a blank sheet and then something, and then just this horrifying face coming through the sheet?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. If that happens, if I drop my mobile phone and that happens on my phone, I ain't touching that thing.
Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough. But I think that translates into other technology. It just doesn't last as long as it could.
Yeah.
Instead of ensuring for sort of hardiness and lasting a long time, they're pushing for innovations, which, let's just say, honestly, I don't think there'd have been much of a fuss if they said, oh, here's the PlayStation 5, and it's basically got the same controller as the PlayStation 4, but it's white. And people are like, okay, I like the colour.
Yeah.
They weren't pushing for these sort of innovations. That was entirely on Sony's hands. And in doing that, they've kind of sat, at least it seems with this case of like stick drift hitting so soon, it seems like they've sacrificed hardiness for evolution when evolution wasn't really wanted or cared for. I mean, admittedly, when they got it, it was like, yeah, cool, this is cool, but still.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And it's not just me who agrees with you. In fact, there is a US law firm called Chemical Schwartz, Kreiner and Donaldson Smith, or CSK&D. I'd love to know what kind of surname Chemicals is, because it sounds like a Pokemon or something like that. But they are the firm that is behind the ongoing class action lawsuit against Nintendo over Joy-Con drift, and they are investigating a potential class action over the PlayStation 5 DualSense drift as well. That's how much of an issue it's become.
Yeah. It's another case not with Nintendo, because that happened after a good while. But in the case of Sony, it's another case of early adopter beware.
Yeah. And again, it's one of these things that you and I have both said. Buying a console right at the beginning probably isn't the best advice, because you can be guaranteed that console has not been tested for every single potential failure.
Yeah, I mean, you can test it in-house, but testing it in-house and testing it in, I think it was 4.5 million have been shipped and sold. So 4.5 million people testing compared to whatever they have in-house, it's incomparable.
Yeah, there are going to be failures. We know there are going to be failures in some kind of system somewhere. There was the whole bricking issue, which happened early on, not long after the Series X and S and the PlayStation 5 were launched. There were some consoles that were bricking for no reason. And now they've got this stick drift thing. What other issues are going to come up in the next few months? Don't know. But there will be some issues that come up.
Yes, undoubtedly.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where this goes, whether they do end up with a class action lawsuit against them. I don't reckon they'll pay out a lot of money if they do end up in court. But, you know. It's one of those things.
It's a shame, honestly, just before you go into the next story. It is a shame because, you know, especially when these consoles cost $400, $500 a pound, and the controllers cost 60 quid.
Yeah.
You'd expect it to have some sort of insurance against it lasting.
There's a point. The controller costs 60 quid, yeah?
Give or take.
So why do the games cost the same amount as a controller?
They don't. They cost 70 now.
So the games are more expensive than the controller?
Yeah.
Are video game consoles going the way of printers? where you buy the printer really cheap, but the actual ink that you use in the printer is like ridiculously expensive.
Probably. But on that, I think, yeah, next story. Let's move on.
Yeah. Moving on. Right. So there was a ransomware attack on CD Projekt Red. You know, I think everyone's aware that CD Projekt Red had a lot of their source code stolen. The source code for, was it Thronebreaker, Cyberpunk, and The Witcher. That's all been stolen.
It was also the unreleased version of The Witcher, which has ray tracing incorporated into it.
Yep, also that as well. Well, according to the cyber intelligence firm Keller, who shared an image of the forums where the hackers were auctioning off the source code for several of the studio's games, the group behind the attack have now sold the source code for an undisclosed amount of money. And it'll be interesting to see where this goes, because the source code, it's very distinctive source code, I would say. So any developer or publisher using an adaptation of that,
it wouldn't have been a publisher or a developer who bought it.
Yeah, I don't think it would have been either,
because that's incredibly illegal. Basically, be found with stolen goods and you're profiting off stolen goods.
Well, this is the thing. Even if you adapt the source code for any of those titles, anyone who looks at the source code and says, "Hang on, this looks familiar," and then makes comparisons, you know, when you're in school and you basically have like a book report or an essay or something like that to do on a particular title, and so you look it up in your textbooks. Oh, this is kind of pre-Wikipedia days, by the way. You look it up in your textbooks. You decide to copy bits out of the textbook, but you reword them just enough so that the teacher doesn't know you've just copied sections out of the textbook.
So it's like Witcher 3, but everybody wears hats.
Yeah.
Like everybody has a hat on.
Yeah,
and it's not basically. It's not Geralt, it's Gerald. And it's not called the Witcher 3, it's called the Hitcher 3. Mild Hunt. Or Mild Shunt.
Mild Shunt, yeah.
Hitcher 3, Mild Shunt.
Starring Gerald the Hitcher.
Yeah. So, it's...
That's a movie that I didn't expect.
It's not going to be a legit company. This is going to be some sort of grass level thing. And that's like a kind of a climb down, because apparently they asked CD Projekt Red for £7 million and they'd accept auction going up in increments of $500,000. So they in no way got that anywhere near what they wanted.
I don't think they got that either. Because, you managed to get hold of the full source code for Cyberpunk, Thronebreaker, The Witcher 3, blah, blah, blah. Fine, fair enough. But CD Projekt Red, and in fact, any developer, isn't the type to sit on their laurels and just leave it at the source code. They're going to build on that. They're going to adapt it. So the source code is great as a starting point, as a foundation point, but it's what you do with it. Given how much we see from, historically, I'd say, given how much we've seen from Chinese developers.
That's an old stereotype, isn't it? It is.
They've come along leaps and bounds in the last 5 years. But there are Indian developers who are going along the same path that the Chinese developers have done historically, in that they make a lot of copies of Western games.
Yeah, but at the same time, Chinese games are pretty much at the pinnacle of AAA with some of the announcements that they've dropped in recent. Or AAA production values, not necessarily AAA teams or budgets.
Yeah.
With that, what was it called? It's basically a Onimusha Dead Souls style game, but with Sun Go.
Oh, Wukong, you're on about.
Yeah.
Which, I love the commentary that I've seen for some of these reaction videos to the new Wukong trailer, where they're like, "Oh, it's like this, it's like this, it's like this. Oh, I wonder, is this based on anything? I'm like, it's Wukong. How do you not know what it's based on?
It's one of the oldest fables there is. it's like it predates Faust, and Faust is one of the earliest sort of starry archetypes.
Exactly. I mean, how do you not know Journey to the West?
You might have heard of Dragon Ball, and that kind of took a few ideas from it. Not many, a few.
Yeah, just a smidgen of an idea.
Yeah. Avatar took just a little bit of it. A smidgen.
Yeah, just a bit.
Mainly the part with the blue giants, but, you know, just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there was an entire TV series that is reasonably famous in the West for its bad dubbing in particular, and yeah. That was called Monkey.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, didn't Jackie Chan and Jet Li have a film together where it was
the most disappointing cinema outing of either in cinema history?
Yeah. Oh, no, you haven't seen Jackie Chan's latest one, where he fights Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, the point is, those two together on screen for the first time ever, and it was all about a little American kid.
Yeah, who apparently is better than both of them at this stuff.
Yes.
Somehow.
Angered an entire community, that. But anyway, I mean, it's nothing's going to come of this, I don't think. This is just going to be something that some bedroom corridors, or somebody who wants to save it for posterity, some really shady type individuals about it. It's not going to be going into circulation and become a new game called The Hitcher 3 Mild Hunt, a Mild Shunt with Gerald the Hitcher.
Gerald the Hitcher. Like I said, that is the sequel movie that I really want now.
Yeah, it's not going to become that.
There was Rutger Hauer in The Hitcher, then there was The Kid, and now there's The Hitcher 3.
And everybody wears hats. Let's not forget that bit.
But just to touch upon a very quick thing that you just said, someone's going to save this for posterity.
Hmm.
I would love to see that museum exhibit where it's just a little USB stick in a glass case. And here we have The Witcher 3 source code. And everyone's just looking at it going, ooh.
You see, I've recently rewatched Futurama, and that just, it honestly cut from the cloth of that sort of future
exactly.
Satire.
That when I was saying it, I was thinking, this is so totally a Futurama joke that was never used.
Okay. So, I think we should use that point to talk about other stuff that we're doing right now, and other stuff you can find. If you head to www.patreon.com/thegeekshow, you will have two tiers where you can support us if you like what we do. On tier number one, £1 tier, instead of it being like a thank you tier, thank you for supporting us, we appreciate it. It is that, but it is also access to our exclusive Patreon podcast called Director's Lottery, in which myself and Graham of Popscreen have a big list of movie directors. I think at last count it was 298 of the beggars. We pick somebody from that with a random number generator, and whatever director that comes up with, we talk about a big movie from their filmography and a small, more overlooked, forgotten director from their filmography. So far, in the first episode, we did Robert Hamer, who is probably most famous for Kind Hearts and Coronets, which Robert Hamer is most famous for. In that, Alec Guinness plays the entire Dascoigne family, which is its claim to fame. In the follow-up episode, we did John Waters, in which I found out I'm kind of a Hairspray fan. Not the musical, not the terrible movie with John Travolta. movie. No, none of that. And that is Director's Lottery. And in the follow-up podcast and the follow-up tier, it's an extra edition of Pop Screen every month for £3. And that is a podcast which Graham does with a series of rotating guests, in which he looks at a movie which has like a pop star as an actor, director, doing the score, doing the set dressing, whatever they might be doing. And he delves deep into that, which is far more varied and ranging than it ever has any right to be. I mean, I've recorded episodes for Wild Zero and Tokyo Tribe, among other things. On the website, though, if you go to thegeekshow.co.uk, you'll find our entire archive of podcasts, as well as some written articles about movies. with a review of a fan favourite, a new favourite, Host, which debuted on Shudder, which should be up anytime soon as we record this.
Okay, so moving on, Warner Brothers have finally secured a patent for Shadow of Mordor's Nemesis system, which has raised a lot of questions.
That's just sad, honestly.
Yeah.
It's sad, yeah.
Should a video game mechanic be patented like that? Well, not so much patented. Should you be penalized if you use a video game mechanic? I mean, if you apply it to other media, that'd be like, what's it called? Is it Dutch tilt, Dutch angle, something like that?
Dutch angles, in which things are slightly off to imply that something's gone wrong or something's weird or something can't be trusted.
So if a filmmaker starts using Dutch angles, are they, should they be penalised for using it?
Oh, the spaghetti western shot, which is that, sort of the eyes. Extreme close-up.
Yeah, or if a painter decides to do an impressionist piece, should they be penalised for doing impressionism?
It's a bit more specific than any of those things, but at the same time, I think it's a bad move for video games, because video games are nothing if iterative. So one person comes up with this thing. Let's think of an example. It's Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
It's Spider-Man 2. That one company who made Spider-Man 2, the original one, I don't know who it was, said, our web swinging, it's ours. We've bought it.
Yeah.
We own the license to it. Nobody could ever, ever use it again. Which means we wouldn't have got the current Spider-Man on PlayStation 4 or Miles Morales on PlayStation 5. And we wouldn't have seen or felt how invigorating web swinging could be, because that one company said, it's ours, you can't use it anymore. No.
Also, you wouldn't have got the Batman game, Arkham City, or any of those, because they use a version of web swinging.
Yeah. So one company having it basically means that a Nemesis system was good, but it was just shy of the potential it could realise. So in Warner Brothers owning it, that means that mechanic can't ever improve. Not in the same rate that other things could, with other companies having a go.
The sad thing is that we did an episode of Impossible Mission a while ago called Games Copy Games, Deal With It.
Well, we didn't have the deal with it, we just called it Games Copy Games.
Yeah. I had the deal with it all the time in my head, because that's my attitude towards that. But it just seems like that whole thing, as you said, video games are iterative. You know, they take inspiration, they take influence from other games and from other media. And if you cut that off, then where do you go?
I mean, look at like racing games from, I know there's ones before Outrun, but I'm just using Outrun as an example. Look how much they've evolved from Outrun.
Yeah.
Games develop, they move forward, they change, they just dip and move and reshape themselves in all sorts of ways.
Exactly. And there are clones of Outrun. There are different versions of games that are very similar to Outrun. But then, from kind of the roots that games like Outrun and the games that came before Outrun set down, you end up with games like Gran Turismo and Project Cars and Forza and all those other games.
Yeah, and the idea for Nemesis has sort of wide-reaching applications to basically all video games.
Yeah.
Because in case you haven't played it, it's basically in the Lord of the Rings games, the Shadow of War, Shadow of Mordor games. You were faced up against trolls, or whatever they're called. I can't remember. I'm so out of touch with the Lord of the Rings.
Was it Uruk-hai?
It doesn't matter. It's just the bad guys. Orcs. The orcs, that's it. The
orcs, basically.
Yeah, orcs. You had an encounter, and if you were killed by a certain orc, that orc basically grew a personality. And developed and grew, and every time you faced them, they either grew in power or run away. And if they run away, they get more powerful and more powerful and more powerful until they become a nemesis. And it's a way of sort of randomly generating sort of powerful enemies within the game and randomly generating their personalities too. So it's not just, here is generic boss number 5. I remember in one of them where there was a guy who was like, he was impervious to jumping over, because it plays much like Batman in Ken's server. It's like square to attack, triangle to dodge, X and direction to jump over. You couldn't jump over him. he'd block you, and he was also poisonous. So I hated him. Never mind him running away from me whenever I saw him. I was like, oh, that guy again. I'm out of here.
And was it a thing where the bosses, if they, if you were in like the vicinity, they would come after you?
Yeah, it was all sorts of different ramifications.
You know,
there was some which we couldn't, wouldn't be, you couldn't throw arrows at them at all, whatsoever.
I mean, just the entire Nemesis system, the more you look into it and the more you look into the potential of it, you just think, this is a game changer for video games.
I'm surprised it wasn't anything else.
So many games.
Yeah.
You know, if you applied this to so many games, it would make the game so much more dynamic. Can you imagine a version of, say, was it Skyrim, where you could end up with dragons who were your nemesis, who could literally fly and hunt you down?
It has wide-reaching ramifications for how games and open world games especially could be paced. And honestly, Warner Brothers saying, no, it's mine. I can't hear you now. I can't see you now. Mine, 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 mine. Basically like Cartman, that kid in the playground says, you say to him, I shot you with a laser. No, you can't shoot me with a laser. I've got a force field. You can't break my force field. They're basically the corporate version of that. That's what they've done.
Yeah.
I don't know how I got there, but that's basically it, yeah.
They're taking their toys away so no one else can play with them. But as soon as someone comes up with something that looks like the Nemesis system, you can be guaranteed they'll try and sue them.
It's a sad story, honestly, more than anything.
Yeah. I'm not sure what's going to happen with that, what's the result of it, but I would love to have seen the Nemesis system in so many other games.
It'd have been great for something like Marvel's Avengers.
Yeah. Yes, actually. Because the villains in the comics have always had a lot more agency than has been shown in video games.
And it would have made it a bit more varied than just wail on this dude for 30 minutes and then he might give up.
Yeah. I mean, if you can have a system where the bad guy hunts you as much as you hunt the bad guy.
Yeah. But it's just the tip of the iceberg of things that the Avengers game got wrong. Anywho, though, moving on.
Moving on. Right, it's been about, it's been about 2 decades, about 20 years since Kingdom Hearts first appeared on PlayStation 2, yeah?
Sounds about right. I think it was 1998, right. Something like that.
So,
no, it was more than that, sort of 2001, 2002, something like
that. The thing is, Square Enix have revealed that for the first time ever, a huge chunk of the Kingdom Hearts franchise is going to appear on PC, thanks to the Epic Game Store.
Yeah.
It's like an exclusive thing. And the thing that struck me about this particular story is that Kingdom Hearts, historically, the only time I can remember a Kingdom Hearts game not being on a Sony, not being exclusively on a Sony console, was there was one Kingdom Hearts game which I think was on the Nintendo DS.
Yeah, there was a few weird ones.
And there was the, the Chain of Memories was on the Game Boy, that little card battler thing, and there was another one on the DS. But the rest of them have all been pretty much solidly Sony exclusives.
Yeah, there's mobile Nintendo, handheld Nintendo, and Sony. That's where it's all been.
Well, there was PSP as well.
It's not like being spread far and wide.
Yeah, it's not been spread far and wide. So the fact that they're all coming in like one chunk onto PC, well, maybe two chunks onto PC, because even when they reissued Kingdom Hearts, you know, they did like 1.25 and 2.5 and stuff like that. They only did those for like the PlayStation 3 and the PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
And they didn't go out onto any other consoles. And so it's always been this kind of bastion of the PlayStation, effectively. But now it's going onto PC. And there are people who are now speculating that Sony is starting to lose its grip on some of these franchises that it's basically maintained almost near total exclusivity.
Just to add a little bit of kindling to this fire, MLB The Show was made by Sony San Diego, I think, or something like that. No, not San Diego. Yeah. Somewhere. I can't remember. It's not important which studio. It's Sony Studio. And now that's on the Xbox, and on the cover of the Xbox games, it's actually got a Sony logo.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't maintain that relationship, MLB was questioning why their game couldn't be cross-platform.
Yeah.
And the money that they were short from being cross-platform was noticeable.
Yeah.
But yeah, also Horizon on PC, which eventually got good after patching.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's Sony loosening their grip. I think it's kind of a product of the industry being too big for one company to have too much of a stranglehold over something.
Yeah.
Which they don't technically own.
Yeah. I honestly think the days of having exclusivity for a particular console are over.
Well, exclusives in the sense of this company owns that company and this company makes game for that company. That's it. But as far as sort of like Square is not owned by Sony. No. Major League Baseball is not owned by Sony. So they have no justification for being one platform only.
Yeah. Third party exclusives, I think the days of those are done.
Well, there's apparently Sony have some third party exclusives that are going to make people very angry. Apparently, according to the rumour mill. I don't know what they are. They haven't manifested yet, but that was like a rumour which dates back a while.
Yeah, but I mean, there's always rumours about third-party exclusives, and then they turn out to be timed exclusives rather than
proper-tied-in-the-wall
exclusives.
A timed exclusive can just go to a corner in hell and cry, frankly.
Yeah. And how many times have we seen it at E3 where they go, exclusive? And then it turns out to be just a timed exclusive.
A launch exclusive, like some things have been now. That's the new one. But it's just a changing, evolving industry. I think it's all for the better, frankly, because honestly, for a long time, this whole idea of Sony having their corner, Nintendo having theirs, and Microsoft having theirs, it's fostered a lot of bad things. It's fostered us against their mentality in gamers, which is basically a poison now. And little decisions like this, they might seem very minor, but the opening games up in a way which I think is long, long overdue. Because this sort of idea of us versus them, it was principally at its most noxious and poisonous. From like Sega versus Nintendo to now, before that, it wasn't the same sort of thing. It was just games are games and I play these games.
Yeah.
And hopefully this is a small thing and I'm reading an awful lot into it, but hopefully this is a sign that the old times that are returning.
Maybe. We don't know. We don't know. But we'll see. Time will tell.
Yeah.
Finally, a bit of a bizarre thing, this. Pokemon fans will be happy about this, right? Because there is a thing, right? To celebrate 25 years of Pokemon, there's a virtual concert that's going to be held, right? Now, Katy Perry has apparently already signed up she was the first person to be announced, in fact, for this virtual concert. But there's no word on when that concert is going to be held. We do, however, know that another artist is going to be holding a virtual concert for Pokemon, and that's going to be on the 28th of February, around midnight UK time, Post Malone. Now, this is where I get confused, because I can understand, okay, Katy Perry, Poppy, everything like that, and Pokemon being kind of the pop version of video games. It's the thing that's liked by so many people because it's like mildly inoffensive and
sugary, sweet, and quite kind of slutty, like Pokemon.
Yeah, basically. And nobody questions the fact that you're involved in animal cruelty and slavery. And
it's basically Mandingo fights, but with cute animals.
Yeah, nobody questions that. And I'm not saying that Katy Perry is involved in any of those things either.
Oh, no.
It's a bit like, say, if Alice Cooper at his height were to do, I don't know, some kind of kids concert for Disney.
Whoa, you're giving Post Malone a bit more credit than it's deserving there. Because honestly, like, Alice Cooper is one of the all-time great rock acts ever.
Yeah. Okay, right.
And Post Malone is just kind of middle-of-the-road, sweary pop rap.
That's my point, though. Pokemon is historically this rather clean-cut anime video game card game franchise.
Yeah, this is a concert which will be going globally because it's digital.
Yeah.
So it's not like I can joke it away by saying, yes, but most American fans of Pokemon are 20-somethings who are miserable. Far, 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 far. No, can't do that because it's global.
thing is, they've released a trailer for the concert
with
Post Malone in the trailer. And he's basically walking along saying, we've come a long way, yada, yada, yada. It's been 25 years. And then he's at the end of it, he's holding a Pokeball. He says, this is for the fans because of them, holding a Pokeball. And then they show the animated version of Post Malone. So it's not even live Post Malone who's going to be there. It's going to be animated Post Malone in this live concert.
I know there's like a type of, like the gorillas do live concerts, even though they're basically animated characters, but it's all like projections, holograms essentially.
Yeah. And I'm curious as to whether this is actually going to be live, or whether it's going to be live in quotation marks, where it's basically pre-recorded, but the animated character is live.
Here's the thing, this makes me think of MF Doom, bless his soul, and may he rest in peace. He got a bad rap with a lot of the rap community because, well, if he didn't want to be somewhere, he'd send a doppelganger.
Yeah.
And because he had such a unique cadence and delivery and flow, you're like, that's not him. And he made people angry and a lot of fans, even though he made fans angry in a lot of towns, it's word that sentence properly. I don't think that's going to happen here. Yeah. But at the same time, it is just set up for shenanigans, isn't it?
Well, it's set up for shenanigans.
If it's live, anyway.
But I mean, it's also the thing that kind of bugs me a lot about this a little bit is I could understand if you can do a concert for Pokemon and you've got the likes of Katy Perry, very bubbly, poppy kind of thing. You know, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, you know. And weirdly enough, it's like the Just Eat adverts with Snoop Dogg, right?
That's a really good bit of music that he's put together.
Even
in his 50s, he's still got it.
But the thing is, it's a bizarre matchup, which years ago you might not have thought of. You know, when Snoop Dogg started doing his rap stuff and with his first album, you might not have thought he's going to be doing adverts for takeaway food.
This is a guy who came to prominence by being like the hugest pothead imaginable.
Yeah. Second hugest.
Who could have outdone him in his heyday?
Oh, I'm trying to remember his name. It's the country and western singer. Kind of rock country and western. Trying to remember his name, but he actually said that he actually admitted on Jimmy Kimmel, I think it was, that this guy had basically smoked him under the table.
Okay. But at the point, it's not a Pokemon concert.
Willie Nelson, that's it.
Oh,
Willie
yeah, Nelson. Totally. Totally Willie Nelson. You don't need that, no question about that. You just see him and you think, yeah, okay, fair enough, I see it. But my point is, this isn't a Pokemon concert, is it? A Pokemon concert would be much like what we talked about in the... let's talk about music, video game music version of Impossible Mission, where it's just here as a concert and the concert is playing Mario themes or Final Fantasy themes or Metal Gear Solid or whatever. This is just a collection of singers with Pokemon branding on.
Yeah, that's basically all it is. Because I seriously doubt that people like Katy Perry or Post Malone or anyone like that, anyone involved in this concert, would want to do like the theme tune for Pokemon.
Yeah. Now, if this was, let's say, hypothetical, we're talking here. If Nintendo, or whoever has ownership of Pokemon, because I know it might be a company underneath them, Game Freak, have had a lot of dalliances with them in the past.
Yeah.
Said, right, we're going to do this event. It's to celebrate an anniversary of Pokemon, and we'd like to invite you, Mr. Music Man, or you, Mr. Music Lady, Mrs. Music Lady, I should say, to create some original music inspired by what has transpired in the previous 20 odd years of Pokemon. I'd be like, yeah, that'd be great. Because it's coming from a genuine place. It's not like you're going to get Katy Perry and she's going to be singing like Fireworks or whatever her famous song is. I kissed a girl and I liked it. It's like, what's that got to do with Pokemon? Oh, it's okay, she's wearing a Pokemon dress. It's clearly a Pokemon of a concert.
I mean, even if they chose their favorite famous songs and changed the words, like "I kissed a Charizard and I liked it," I don't know.
No, you wouldn't. You get all dry and burned.
I would cringe if I heard anything like that.
Yeah, but still, at least it's Pokemon related somewhere. It's like that song from that Star Wars dancing game with the infamous Han Solo.
Oh God, yeah.
You remember it? I can't remember. I remember it was like basically it was the same song at the same note, but it just changed the keywords to Han Solo.
Yeah. There's a thing though that that strikes me about this. I don't know if you remember this. Years ago, there were Jack D, the stand-up comedian Jack D, used to advertise a type of beer called John Smith's. Right.
My dad drinks it. I know it very well.
Right, and so he was involved in a series of comedic adverts, and one of those adverts kind of it kind of sums up this entire how I feel about this entire Pokemon thing. The whole idea of the advert was that Jack D has to dress up in a penguin suit and sing a song about the widget that the cans of John Smith's had. And he's like, "No, I'm not going to do that. I mean, I'm a professional. I mean, this is beneath me. I mean, really, there's nothing you can do that would convince me to do this." And then just a big bag of cash falls down next to him. And the next thing you see is him in the penguin suit with these women in ladybird outfits around him going, "Widget, it's got a widget, a lovely widget."
Yeah. I don't think we can really follow on anywhere from that. That's like a good ending point for this week's news trash. But yeah, if you are listening to this on the podcast feed, this is going to be one of the few episodes which we release on its own. It's not going to be doubled up with anything. It's just going out there into the wild to fare for itself and find and forage for nuts for itself. But we'll put the link for that on the YouTube version in the description below, because finding things on podcast providers can be a little bit daunting. And that will be under the Impossible Mission Omni feed. I've named it that, the Impossible Mission Omni feed, just so I'm not being facetious or anything. But yeah, that's all we have time for this week. We will be back next Monday with more news and more trash. Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah.
I've been Rob, he's been Rob. Thanks for watching.